I have always wanted to write the story, the photographer told me, but I could not have done so without her permission or her collusion. Other people's stories are inviolable territory, or that's how it's always seemed to me, because often there is something in them that informs or defines a life, and stealing them in order to write them is much worse than revealing a secret. Now, for reasons that don't matter, she has allowed me this usurpation, and in return has only asked that I tell the story just as she told it to me that night, without tweaks, embellishments, or pyrotechnics, but also without muting anything. Begin where I begin, she said. Begin with my arrival at the ranch when I saw the woman. And that's what I intend to do here. And I'll do so fully aware that I am the way she has found to see her story, told by someone else, and thus to understand, or try to understand, something that has always escaped her. The photographer had a long name and two long surnames, but everyone always called her Jay. She had become something of a legend over the years, one of those people others knew things about, that she always dressed in black, that she wouldn't have a sip of aguardiente even to save her life. Everyone knew she talked unhurriedly with people before taking her camera out of her bag. And more than once, journalists wrote their articles based on materials she remembered, rather than what they had managed to find out. It was known that other photographers followed her or spied on her, thinking she didn't notice, and tended to stand behind her in a futile attempt to see what she saw. She had photographed Colombian violence more assiduously, and also with more empathy, than any other photojournalist. And the most heartrending images of our war were hers. The one of an old lady weeping in the roofless ruins of a church that guerrillas had blown up with a gas cylinder. The one of a young woman's arm with the initials, carved with a knife and already scarring, of the paramilitary group that had murdered her son in front of her. Now, things were different in certain fortunate places. Violence was retreating and people were getting to know something like tranquility again. Jay liked visiting those places when she could, to relax, to escape her routine, or simply to witness firsthand those transformations that would have once seemed illusionary. That's how she reached Las Palmas. The ranch was what was left of the 90,000 hectares that had once belonged to her host. The Galans had never left the province of Los Llanos, nor did they have plans to renovate the old house, and they lived there contentedly, walking barefoot on the dirt floor without startling the hens. Jay knew them because she'd visited the same house 20 years before. Back then, the Galans had rented her the room of one of their daughters, who had gone to study agronomy in Bogotá, and from the window, Jay could see the mirror of water, which was what they called a river some 100 meters wide, and so calm it looked like a lagoon. The capybaras swam across the river without being pushed off course by the current, and in the middle of the water, sometimes a bored black caiman surfaced, floating perfectly still. Now, on this second visit, Jay would not sleep in that room full of someone else's things, but in the comfortable neutrality of a guest room, with two beds and a nightstand between them. She would use only one bed and even had a hard time deciding which one. Everything else was the same as before. There were the capybaras and the caimans and the calm water, the stillness of which had been increased by the drought. Most of all, there were the people, because the Galans, maybe due to their reluctance to leave the ranch except to buy supplies, had managed to get the world to come to them. Their table, an enormous wooden board next to a coal-burning stove, was invariably full of people from all over. Visitors from the neighboring ranches or from Yopal, friends of their daughters with or without them, zoologists or veterinarians or cattle ranchers who came to talk about their problems, That's how it was this time, too. People drove 2 or 3 hours to come and see the Galans. Jay had driven 7, and she'd done so with pleasure. Taking time to rest when she stopped for gas, opening the windows of her old Jeep to enjoy the changing smells along the road. Some places have a certain magnetism, perhaps unjustified, that is made up of our mythologies and our superstitions. For Jay, Las Palmas was one of those places, and that's what she was looking for. A few days of quiet among spoonbills and iguanas that climbed down from the trees to eat fallen mangoes in a place that in other times had been a territory of violence.